AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday of Independence Week. Reminder, with the holiday week, we're featuring all the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurants. Go to eatlocalminnesota.com, find a great local restaurant. Many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck is kind enough to join us today to talk about some of the stories we've been covering with her over in Wisconsin. Molly, I hope you had a wonderful Independence Day.
I did. How was yours?
It was busy. We had rain up here. Was it raining down in Milwaukee, Madison area?
No rain, but it was very, very hot. Ugh. So maybe uncomfortable in a different way.
let's just go with Foxconn. You and I have talked now about four or five times about this grand deal where Foxconn, I mean, and this is Scott Walker's baby. You know, they gave what was the total amount of state taxpayer dollars they gave Foxconn to come move in their facility over there?
So in tax incentives, it was about $3.5 billion. And then if you include the local incentives that the county where that facility will be built, it comes to about $4 billion.
This is something, and you and I talked about this. I mean, this is great if it comes to fruition. It's a lot of, but even still, if it comes to fruition, it's at maximum capacity. It hires all Wisconsin people, no one from Illinois, and it does its job. It still would be, 25 years before the state would see a return on that investment, correct?
Right, that's right. And that was when it was unveiled, that was a key criticism from Democrats that it's just going to take too long before the state sees a financial, a positive effect from it. So they're still talking about that. They have broken ground. Donald Trump was here last week, I believe, or the week before with Scott Walker, and they broke ground on the site where this $10 billion plant, they'll be producing LCD panels, will be built in southeastern Wisconsin.
Once again, if it comes through and ends up making money, it's a good investment. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to die, but you and I talked about the precarious nature of this investment, and a lot of things have to go a very specific way. And already, was it Foxconn that started talking about their production, what they were going to be doing at this facility? It sounds like there are some people pulling back on the hiring goals and what exactly the facility is going to do. Is that correct?
So there's been some news in recent weeks that the facility is not going to be doing exactly what they said they thought it would be doing when this deal was being put together between Governor Walker and Foxconn. And they've said that they might be scaling back what they're doing, mostly in a response to technology and the demands of technology and what people want now. As everybody knows, that can change really quickly. And even in the span of the time that we've been talking about this facility, it sounds like the kind of LCD panel that they're talking about might be different by the time they build this facility. So the hiring goals, they haven't said that would change at all, but I did see recently that one of the Foxconn officials said that the 13,000 jobs that I think a lot of people thought were going to be in the facility near Racine might be spread across Racine and other Foxconn sites that might pop up across the state. They just were in Green Bay right after the groundbreaking in Racine area to say that Foxconn has purchased a building in Green Bay and they're going to have 200 high-tech jobs there. So it could be that there's 10,000 jobs in the Racine area and then the 3,000 others elsewhere.
You, and by the way, I do want to make sure I give you credit because you basically said that one of the first times you said is that this is a pretty big gamble because when you're looking at a 25-year return on investment, the technology in 25 years ago, we were listening to cassette tapes. And so It's a pretty big gamble that they're going to be using this facility and continually upgrading said facility to match the technology as needed. When you talk about possible sites getting some of these jobs, have they mentioned possibly out of Wisconsin? Or is it only if they're just saying that it might not be the 1,300 here, it might be just around the state?
I mean, they will not get the full $3.5 billion from the state if those jobs are not in Wisconsin. So if they decide to build a facility in Minnesota, for example, and move 5,000 jobs that they were going to have in Wisconsin or expected to have in Wisconsin over there. They're not going to get that full $3.5 billion in tax incentives. So, I mean, it's possible they might do that anyway, and it might be, you know, they might find that to be a better, you know, decision for them. But if they want to get the state incentives, they have to bring the jobs here.
Well, and going back to something else you had mentioned before is some of this money of that $3.5 billion is guaranteed. So no matter what, they're going to get that, correct? How much is that, $2 billion, $2.1?
It's about almost $2 billion, yeah. They get about half that if they just build a facility. So, and then the rest of it is tied to the jobs.
Seems like they're getting out pretty good already. Obviously, you brought up Trump, that he was out there. I mean, that made not a lot of national news on this and talking about technology jobs. But that was before today, where really this new trade war has begun. Are there concerns that a trade war with the European Union, Canada, Mexico, China? I mean, those are the four, you know, entities that Trump's trying to go to war with as far as trade. Is there a concern that's going to impact the sustainability and the ramp up of this facility?
I don't know about the facility specifically. There's been not a lot of discussion about that, but there has been a lot of discussion about existing Wisconsin businesses and industries here that will be affected by the tariffs. And I, you know, right when that groundbreaking was happening, Harley Davidson had said that they were going to move some of their production overseas in response to the tariffs. And President Trump, in a series of tweets, was very, very critical and said that if they do that, they're going to be taxed like never before. And then the most recent tweet was basically saying that he was going to help Harley Davidson's competitors if they did that. And so Governor Walker was in a very awkward spot, because if anybody has ever met or talked to Governor Walker, they know that he really likes Harley Davidson. He has a Harley. He wears motorcycle boots on campaign stops. His campaign stops are often at Harley stores. So there was a lot of reporters asking him what he thought of the president's threats, or at least that's how Democrats were characterizing them. And, you know, he said that he didn't agree with the tariffs, but he didn't comment directly on the president's comment.
Well, and their so-called threats, those were threats. I mean, he was very pointed, saying, "I'm going to go punish them." This is interesting to me now. And first of all, let's talk about Harley Davidson a little bit as well, and talk about it from the corporate standpoint. I feel sorry for them because they are one of those iconic brands, Jack Daniels, Levi's, Harley Davidson's. And when you get into trade disputes with other countries, those are the businesses that are first looked at, because they are iconic and they are something where it's a worldwide brand that's had success that can trace itself all the way back to Wisconsin. I imagine for you know, they're going through a lot of stuff in as far as the company goes. They're going through a lot of this in regards to just, you know, we're trying to do a business here. This is not exactly, you know, helping. I mean, I think even the CEO was very pointed in his kind of, no, this is all a creation of Trump's doing.
So the production that they want to move overseas is, you know, the bikes that are going to be sold in the EU. So they're just going to move the production over there, so they are not subject to the tariffs. And so it's not, you know, all of their production by any means, and they're still going to be based in Milwaukee. But there are, you know, obviously Wisconsin lawmakers here who don't want to see that happen, even if it's a small percentage of their production. They want to keep those jobs in Wisconsin or the United States if they're not in Wisconsin. So it's the, you know, the discussion on that, the argument over that is still ongoing. So we'll see what happens.
I just don't understand what Trump's trying to do there, though. I mean, so good for Harley Davidson. They're a big enough company to where they can, and this is not necessarily good for Wisconsin. I mean, I imagine there's a few jobs they're going to be losing in the state. But there is a company they can weather this by basically just putting an assembly factory in Europe, leave that to be a European Harley Davidson, you know, company, American company. They get around this. But Trump, with his comments, you know, it really is, you know, he's very pointedly going after this company, and he is making threats, saying, "I'm going to work for your competitors." and try to make their and make their sales go up. I mean, this is getting bitter. I mean, it's hard to watch him turn on a brand, which frankly is a brand that is embraced by conservatives.
Right. And I, you know, and we haven't heard anything from Harley about the president's comments. And I don't know if that is because they don't think the so-called threats are going to turn into anything real for them, or if they're still trying to figure out, you know, how to respond, or if they think maybe these tariffs aren't going to happen, you know, it's done. So I'm not sure, you know, where Harley will go from here, but. And it's possible they just ignore it because they know that, you know, there are plenty of their customers are conservatives, and plenty of their customers voted for Donald Trump.
What is the pulse on the people of Wisconsin, though? I imagine, I mean, this is, I mean, next to the Green Bay Packers, this is probably the most iconic Wisconsin brand out there. And I can't imagine Trump declaring war on Harley Davidson is going over well in the state.
It's hard to say. It's one of those things that I agree with you that I wonder how people feel about it, but we don't, you know, there's not 100 reporters who can go out and talk to everybody about how they feel, and there hasn't been any polling on it. But I think it's safe to say that there's, you know, big Harley supporters in Wisconsin because of, you know, the fact that they're based here in Milwaukee. They're still based here in Milwaukee. But at the same time, I don't know how if they might agree with the president's approach too. So it's a tough situation for a lot of people here.
If you're a Republican in Wisconsin and you're running for office, this is just a nightmare scenario because you just got to hope. Okay. Because what you just said is perfect. Is that it's kind of even keeled right now. It's not great news. You got there are some positive. Foxconn's opening, digging ground. They got this new building in Green Bay. You know, Harley Davidson's are still, you know, an iconic brand, but it's not good news either because Foxconn seems to be wondering if they're going to change up what they're going to do there with the technology. And you have Trump specifically, pointing out Harley's as a now evil American business, which is really bizarre. If either of these things go worse, I mean, it creates a difficult situation for the Wisconsin Republican politicians because, you know, you don't want this Foxconn stink coming over you if all of a sudden they back out and they say, okay, we're going to pull back on a trade war. Or if Harley Davidson starts becoming more pointed as a private business against Trump for attacking them, it puts them, as you described with Scott Walker, it puts these politicians in a really ugly situation where they either have to go against an iconic state business or the business of the future in Wisconsin, or they have to back up Trump.
Right. I think, and you see that awkward position in the fact that a lot of prominent state Republicans here haven't said anything about the president's comments about Harley. And that's probably because, you know, it's with the president, it's unpredictable for them, you know, what he's going to say. And so oftentimes we've seen them just try to not comment on it. I think Paul Ryan said the most pointed thing. He said he thinks, you know, the tariffs just are taxes on businesses and doesn't think that's a good idea. But with the Foxconn issue in this fall, these fall elections, I mean, even without the trade war, I think Foxconn is an iffy issue for Republicans, just based on recent polling. There's not overwhelming support for the Foxconn project, and most people think that it won't benefit their area of the state if they are not in the Milwaukee and southeastern part of the state. So there's been a lot of I would call it a campaign by Governor Walker and other Republicans lately since that poll came out to what they would say educate the voters about the project and the, you know, expected benefits from their perspective. So I think the Foxconn issue is something that Republicans are still trying to turn voters' attitudes on.
Well, and you and I, last time we talked about cranberries, which obviously affects Wisconsin directly. And then Canada, what was it, earlier this week or late last week, last weekend, they went out there and part of their return trade tariffs was a yogurt manufacturer. They don't get much yogurt from the United States. Almost all of it comes from one plant in Wisconsin. And the feeling was that that was attacking Paul Ryan directly. You know, obviously that's a pretty big deal for that one yogurt plant. But once again, here's another case where a Trump policy has led to an economic down for a Wisconsin business.
Yeah, and we're actually working on another story about the impact on ginseng farmers. There's a lot of those kinds of farmers here in Wisconsin. So the Chinese tariffs on ginseng could be a big problem for them. So there's a lot of ginseng farmers that are very worried about that. So working on that story too.
I'd never thought about that. My God, you're right. Imagine what, I don't know off the top of your head, do you know what is the percentage of their exports out of this country that go to China?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't have that in front of me. But I'm actually not the reporter who's working on that, but I know that we're finding all that out. So if you read the Journal Sentinel next week, you'll find out.
Okay. Yeah, things are going great over there. Wow. Molly Beck, once again, you have plenty of reasons to follow Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as she covers politics over in Wisconsin. Kind enough today to give us the latest update on Foxconn. I know you and I are going to be talking more about this stuff before too long. Molly, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Molly Beck, let's spotlight her interview as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.